You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You're now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Roto Experts, alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, the King, wearing a fresh sweater today, Scott Engel, and Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. I have to go to Scott first. Scott, you look so nice today.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Hey,
what is the occasion?
Day shift.
Nothing.
I think it is the day shift day.
I'm used to the King in some wild Seahawk gear or a hat or a bright green, and he's wearing these lovely gray pants, a matching gray sweater. It's a very nice look.
Thank you, sir. Maybe it's because the Knickerbockers won last night. I don't
know. Seems unlikely. Blue or orange, if that was the case.
I guess I should have won blue and orange, but hey, we're getting ready for some Thursday night football, little Steelers and Titans. It'll be interesting to see Juju Smith-Schuster and Corey Davis on the same field.
Yes, it will. We'll get into that, of course, in a little bit. Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Greg? How's everything going this morning? How's it shaking? Shout out to the Terps. They got a W last night. That was pretty good, even though expectations are low for the Terps this year.
I wouldn't say they're low. The expectations still have to make the tournament.
Yeah, but they're not going to be. You think they crack the top 25 at any time?
I do.
Okay.
I do. They're getting some votes now. I think, you know, got to do their thing. I'll say this for the Terps. I wasn't impressed with the people I was supposed to be impressed with last night, like the quote-unquote leaders of the team. The two best players played like absolute dog crap. Mm-hmm. They were led by their point guard, the point guard after Melo, PGA AM. But they played well, so I was happy about that.
Do you have a pet turtle?
No, I don't have a pet turtle.
You know, it's illegal where we used to live at, right?
It is, in fact, illegal.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can't do it, man.
You can't do it. You can't own a turtle in Prince George County.
Correct.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
We're all turtles.
Yeah, that's why. Because supposedly we're all turtles.
I didn't know that was the reasoning.
Matt Modica, sir, how are you?
Doing well. Looking forward to tonight's game. You know, big week.
Ho-hum. Ho-hum? Is that a very ho-hum for you?
No, I'm just, you know, I'm hoping for the Corey Davis breakout.
You're hoping for the Corey Davis breakout. And I think I'm going to get into this much later on the show. We'll get to it much later on, but it's a spot for Corey Davis with no Joe Hayden, right? Like, this Steelers secondary defense, which has been very good all year, is banged up right now. And this is an opportunity here on Thursday Night Football for, I think, Corey Davis and Rashard, and Rashard Matthews as well. It's a really nice game. I think it could be a fun game tonight.
Yes, the Steelers are missing another guy in the secondary.
Mike Mitchell's hurt as well.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we'll get into that a little bit later on the program. But we'll take our first break. And when we come back, guys, it's over. It's officially over. I never thought we'd say that.
Praise be Jesus.
But it's over. We have concern about Ezekiel Elliott now. We have a statement. We have a finality. And Scott's officially going to rank him below Rex Burkhead when he updates the rest of the season rank. I can promise you that. And Deion Lewis, for that matter. We'll take a break. It's the Roto Experts here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Program. And interestingly enough, yesterday it all came to an end. It took quite a while, like a good 5 months, I guess, 4 months, whatever it was. But it's over. over. There's no speculation. There's no guesswork. There's just facts. And the fact is that Ezekiel Elliott will not play until week 16 against Seattle. There's no questions or speculation or anything like that. Ezekiel Elliott will not play until week 16 at Seattle. Now, this is what we expected, right? I mean, finally. And now he dropped it. And I got to go to you, Corey, here. Because you were the one that said he's not going to drop this thing because he wants to clear his name. It's all about clearing his name. To me, as an outsider, I look at this thing as ultimately when he realized his suspension wasn't going anywhere, he didn't really care about clearing his name anymore. He just, all right, no reason I should spend any money.
That's not what it was.
Talk to me.
He dropped it all together because the owners were pressuring Jerry Jones to stop the whatever he's got going on with Roger Goodell.
Okay.
The owners wanted that to be over with. They threatened to take the Cowboys away from Jerry Jones. So I think Jerry Jones went to Zeke and was like, listen, I understand you didn't do this. You deserve to have your name cleared in this process, but I'm having this trouble with the NFL owners. We got to get past this. Let's just drop it and move ahead.
So you think it was Jerry that just said enough?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if you look, supposedly the NFL is accusing Jerry Jones of actions detrimental to the league.
Yeah, so I saw that, and that was basically telling us to shut off and let the Goodell thing go on. And ultimately, that's what the case is. Ezekiel Elliott suspended until week 16. So, now that we know that, now he's not coming back first week of the playoffs, he's not coming back before that, is there a change in fantasy football shot angle when it comes to Ezekiel Elliott?
Yeah, I think you have to decide right now if you're what your record is. One of my leagues, I have the top spot and I'm holding on to Ezekiel Elliott and it's picking up
awkward.
I'm picking up Aaron Rodgers.
Was week 11? Wow.
We're gonna get to that. I want to get to that coming up a little bit next hour.
Yeah. So you have to look ahead to this. I'm going to hold on to Zeke because I think I have a good shot with that team at playing in Week 16. Otherwise, I think you can go ahead and cut him if you have 7 wins or less. I think and you need to fill a spot. I think you can cut Ezekiel Elliott.
Scott, question for you. I mean, I'm holding him. One of my partners in the Staten Island League was like, "Should we cut Zeke?" And I was like, "Absolutely not." What are your thoughts Week 16 against your vaunted Seattle run defense?
I think if you have Elliott, if he's playing at all, you have to start him. But, if he's going to be out of action for 6 weeks, as Corey has said, that, Zeke takes a while to get up to speed. And, that's a very tough matchup for any running back. But I think, if you're going to save him, you have to use him. Because, what are you probably going to have better that's more attractive to you or that has more upside? If anybody can overcome that type of matchup, it's Ezekiel Elliott. And, look, like Corey said, takes a while for him to get up speed. But, look, he did play 9 games. And it would not shock me if he came out and had a good game, too. He could rush for 50 yards, but he could score twice. So I think you would have to use him.
I think you have to use him in Week 16. I think he has to go into your starting lineup, right back to where he was at. Other than that, I just got to hold on to him and wait it out. We knew this was a situation that could play out. It did play out seemingly in the worst way possible for fantasy owners, but we're here now. There's nothing we can do about it. I would use him in Week 16. I would hold him for your championship week.
Yeah, so I think it's really, really tough, and I think Scott brought up the right point. You're sitting here. You are trying desperately to make the playoffs, right? You're not sitting here pretty at 8-2 or 7-3 or anything like that. I mean, you're fighting. You're 6-4. You're 5-5. You're 4-6. Whatever it may be, you are fighting. I'm sorry. Every roster spot is extremely valuable at this point. Yes, we're taking chances for the playoffs, and I get that. And a lot of people have the luxury of being able to do that. But when you are fighting for the playoffs, we're playing a playoff spot right now. I am not thinking, in all honesty, in leagues where I'm fighting for playoffs, I am not thinking
about
Week 16.
You can't be thinking about Week 16.
I can't.
So, now the Zeke thing is over.
Yeah.
If we have to make a call rest of season, who would we rather have, Morris or Rod Smith?
So to me personally, I think the answer is Alfred Morris. I think that he's the guy. Like, in the offense the Cowboys want to run, that is Alfred Morris, right? They're not going to change the offense. I think it's going to be a ball control offense. You want the running back to carry the ball as much as possible. That's going to be Alfred Morris. I realize the game script had Rod Smith on the field a significant amount more snaps this past Sunday, but that's not a game that the Cowboys want to play. So ideally, I think the player you want to own is Alfred Morris. However,
but they're going to get game. I think it's going to be matchup based because they're more than likely going to get game scripted again on Sunday night. You know, especially if Tyron Smith is not there. That Eagles front is stout. It's going to be difficult, especially if Tyron, as Chaz Green is playing again, it's going to be difficult for Alfred Morris to get those yards. So this might be a more, this week might be a Rod Smith week. Moving forward, it would probably be Alfred Morris, but I think I would rather start Rod Smith this week because the Cowboys are going to struggle with that Eagles front.
Yeah, they're not Eagle, going to be able that, to play that game. That Eagles front is so disciplined. They're playing great right now. They only give up 3.6 yards per carry. I think we're at a point right now, though, if you can cut Elliott, I think that would allow you to carry in some cases.
Very dangerous to do that.
If you're somebody only 6-4
him up and beat you with
somebody
him.
Picks him up and beat you with him in week 16, you're going to be heartbroken.
What if you're 6-4, you're 5-5, you're struggling to make it?
It all depends on who you're picking up, though.
Yeah.
You can't just drop him to pick up some guy that may never start for you. I'm not doing that.
So let me take a step.
I think it depends on the situation. Scott, that's all valid.
Scott, I'm totally with you on this. I'm with you. What if, in all honesty, you need a quarterback for whatever reason? You need a quarterback this week.
There's a situation. What if you had Tyrod Taylor as your starter and you didn't have a backup?
Forget that. I'll move on. Yeah. You could drop Tyrod Taylor, right?
The
answer to that is you drop Tyrod Taylor.
You need a quarterback.
Here's a better answer. Right. Yeah. Let's say your quarterback's Cam Newton and you don't have a backup. Cam's not playing this week. Yeah. I don't know the rest of your bench. I'm saying you can't drop anybody else.
If he was one of these fools carrying $3 Cowboy running backs, which I think I'm one of them in the league now. check my fab. I think check I might be one of them. Yeah. You can drop one of those additional Dallas Cowboy. I don't know. Well, I guess you can't drop one in the backs that's playing. I'm just not cutting Ezekiel Elliott. You rode this roller coaster this far with Ezekiel Elliott. There's no reason to jump off now. And then in week 16, have him go for 175 and two touchdowns and beat you in a championship. That would be quit fantasy football time.
I get it. I understand that. But that is literally 7 weeks away.
Listen, you got to play it the way you want to play it. I'm telling you, I would not do it. That's a bet. That's a pull moment. Why would you ride this ride all the way till now and then cut him?
Because you had a reason to ride the ride. He played for the first 9 weeks of the year.
Yeah, I would not put him on my waiver wire for an 8-1 team to pick him up. I would not do that.
And I don't think you can worry about who the other team is going to have.
I agree.
You want your team to be the best it is.
I agree with you.
But to me, it all depends. Say you got a 6-man bench.
Yeah.
Who are those 6 guys on the bench? Are all 6 guys uncuttable? I think you might have a couple guys that you could possibly live without. So I'm going to do everything in my power not to cut Zeke. And I think, honestly, with the way this offense is going to, it's going to be a little bit different. I do like Dak rest of the way. I think he's going to have to throw the ball. And I think Rod Smith is actually probably going to be the guy to own in PPR. Maybe you want to do standard. Yes, Alfred Smith's still the guy. If you're playing in the PPR, I think Rod Smith is the man.
Alfred Morris is obviously what he meant when he said Alfred
Smith. Who's Alfred Smith?
I said Alfred Smith.
Plays in the same backfield with Rod Morris.
There you go.
But to his point, though, if you play in a 10-team league, and people out there do, a lot
it's
of
different.
Our listeners do,
100%.
Can you cut Zeke Elliott?
The 10-team league is different. In a 10-team league, I can see it.
Well, I think in a 10-team league, it's the same concept, though, of what you're saying. A 9-1 team can pick them up and win a championship.
Yeah, but a 10-team league, you got to understand, it's the players on the waiver wire are likely better. In a 10-team league, you can have, you know, you could have a nice matchup this week on the waiver wire. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like, give me somebody on the running back that has a good matchup this week. Who Dark Wall play? Giants stink.
Chiefs.
No, you don't want to do that. You can have Sterling Shepard on your waiver wire. And have him going up against the Chiefs defense. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know about that. But I did in both of my 12 team home leagues, I looked up the team that has Ezekiel Elliott to see, all right, what's their bench look like? What do they need and whatnot, just for reference. So when one of them also on the bench with him, you have a Will Fuller, who's obviously hurt and plays in the Texans. I think he's dropped. I would drop him before I would drop Ezekiel Elliott personally. They have Darren McFadden, which I would drop before I drop Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
And they have Travis Benjamin, who I dropped before Ezekiel Elliott. So that's 3 guys. The other team with Ezekiel Elliott, oh my, this can't be real. This guy's not even updating his team anymore. It's Willie Sneed in the starting lineup. This can't happen.
Well, you always hear that, like you're saying about like these. I was here in baseball. Oh, the last month, nobody plays.
This guy's in the playoffs.
Yeah, no.
You know, by the same token, the Elliott owner now, if you're 8-2 and he cuts Elliott, you pick him up. So watch for that.
Yeah, it's exactly what Corey here and Maddie were saying.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. When we come back, more headlines from yesterday that don't involve Ezekiel Elliott. We'll do it next.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
So some of the other major, I use major as a not really major thing. That was a big story from yesterday. I was happy that happened to me. You know, that's what I'm going to open the show with today, to be perfectly honest with you. But some of the other news coming out of yesterday in Arizona this week, Sunday. It's a Blaine Gabbert show. Get excited.
Yeah, what's funny, in my fishbowl league, I had, what's his name? Carson Palmer, he went down.
Right.
So I only had one quarterback, Phillip Rivers. Last week, I had no quarterbacks, actually.
Sure.
But I picked up Fitzmagic and Gabbert just out of desperation.
Hell yeah.
And now I got a couple of scrub quarterbacks.
Look at you. Look at you. What is the line, Corey? What about the fishbowl? Did you say that's a league?
It's a draft.
Oh, okay.
It's a draft.
True.
Yeah, it's a draft.
Yeah.
It's a novelty.
I've seen the waiver wire be pretty active in my league.
That's good.
Yeah. Jamal Williams emptied the clip for him in the fishbowl.
Nice.
Yeah, $34.
Good job.
Yeah.
Good job. So anyway, Blaine Gabbert, the starting quarterback here for the Arizona Cardinals for this week. Corey, when Carson Palmer went down, you and I were saying Blaine Gabbert should be the quarterback. And,
yeah.
You know, it took a Drew Stanton injury. But listen, if Blaine Gabbert has a nice little game, then I'll go back to Drew Stanton, which is whatever. What are we expecting from Blaine Gabbert?
More disappointment.
Nice.
More of what we've always expected from Blaine Gabbert. Slow the offense down. Hopefully you still have Larry Fitzgerald, or you know what I'm saying, that situation where you can get that kind of volume from him. I doubt it happens with Blaine Gabbert. Blaine Gabbert, you know, he just doesn't have it for me, my man.
You told me we should want him over Drew Stanton.
I don't think it works good for... It may work better for the team, but it's not going to work good for Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I think both quarterbacks are... You know, mediocre backups. And look, he'll know. His coaches are going to tell him. It's not rocket science to just get the ball to Larry Fitzgerald. And you know, if Stanton can do it, I believe Gabbert can do it.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong either. But I want to ask, when it comes to Larry Fitzgerald and Blaine Gabbert and whatnot. We all kind of sat here and had our questions ultimately, right? Blaine Gabbert kind of stinks, blah, blah, blah. Bruce Arians asked the same thing. Like, why do you think that Blaine Gabbert struggled so much? And he said, quote, well, he's played for teams. Yeah. And I'm like,
yeah, like yours. like yours, Mr. Arians.
Well, that's exactly what I'm thinking about, right? Yeah. Like, all right, so he played for a terrible Jaguars team, played for a terrible Niners team, now he's on a terrible Cardinals team.
Yeah.
But Bruce Arians is one of those guys who thinks he can fix everybody.
But he can't fix nothing.
Right.
He can't fix anything. You feel what I'm saying?
I agree.
It's another experiment that's going on right now, so I don't know. It's a poor situation. This is one of the reasons why I don't really roster Larry Fitzgerald, because Carson Palmer gets injured, you know that this quarterback situation gets real ugly.
Well, I mean, Arians probably has, what, one more month of coaching left in him?
Until he gets recycled. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't even know, though. He's kind of old.
That's true, too.
I'm not trying
that's
to be ageist.
Yeah. No.
They're going to be boycotting Matt Medica outside the damn Renaissance. So
he's got to be having a silent day.
Says the guy that was quoting Saturday Night Fever during the break.
Ageism.
Yeah. When
quote Happy Days again.
The thing is, with Bruce Arians, I agree with Matt. When Bruce Arians is done in Arizona, he's done. I don't think, you know, someone's going to give him another head coaching job. I think, listen, you know, you had some magic early on, and injuries completely sapped him. And listen, he hasn't been able to find the quarterbacks or whatever, and it takes... It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. But ultimately, the head coach, you got to figure out a way. And you've gone with Carson Palmer each and every year. You've decided not to update the backups. It's been Drew Stanton, and now it's playing Gabbert. So, you know, you die on that hill. What are you shaking your head for?
I didn't get Eli Manning.
That's probably a good thing.
I actually like him this week.
Yeah, you know,
a lot of people are asking me Manning or Cutler this week.
Do you know how many people have told me how much they like Eli Manning?
My other quarterback is Tyrod.
Kansas City Chiefs have just been horrible against the pass.
Yeah. I get it.
I don't know. I would love to give the credit for this stat. I think they've given up like 20 more fantasy points than any team, and even the teams that have played an extra game. Those four teams. That's pretty insane when you kind of think about it.
You know, it's interesting because everyone has asked me about Eli Manning. Eli Manning against KC. Eli Manning was like, I heard that question like five times
yesterday, Manning or Cutler.
I didn't hear Manning or Cutler so much.
Because Cutler's going against Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
And Manning's going against Kansas City. So people are like, okay, I need a quarterback because Tyrod Taylor got benched or Cam Newton's got off. You know, who you like of these guys?
Yeah, the one I've gotten the most, Scott, is Eli Manning or Blake Bortles, to be honest with you.
I heard that twice yesterday.
I've gotten
too.
Eli versus Keenum, and you know I'm a big Keenum guy for what he does for that team, but I just think Eli's going to have to throw and throw.
So that's another popular one.
I think there's more of a floor with Eli because Keenum's had three games in which he's thrown no touchdown passes, and I believe he's had like two more in which he's only thrown one.
Problem is, I don't have no more Fab, and my quarterbacks are Tyrod Taylor and Jacoby Brissett.
Do you put $0 bids in?
No.
Then you don't have a quarterback.
I don't have a quarterback for this week.
You're going to make a trade.
It's not a trade league.
So you are not throwing a quarterback this week. You don't have any backup
bids?
You
can't put in a $0 bid?
No.
I honestly don't believe in $0
bids. Can you trade for Fab?
Nope.
No trades. What are you going to do?
I'll have to roll out.
Hope Jacoby Brissett gets traded on the weekend.
Today.
Non-waiver trade.
The trade deadline has passed, unfortunately.
That's non-waiver, I said.
Nothing.
Yeah, he's got to pass. No, he's got to pass through waiver. So they can still do that. He has to get cut, pass through waivers.
He said he has to get cut.
Pass through waivers, and then they trade him.
Not traded. He has to be signed. He has to be cut. You can't trade him. It's not baseball.
They do non-waiver trades in football.
No, they don't.
I read that they do, but am I wrong here?
I don't think they do. I think you could cut somebody and they pass through waivers or whatnot.
I was talking about this on the radio yesterday.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened. I think somebody in this league probably heard, and they went and put a wild bid in on Eli Manning, and I don't have no quarterback this week.
Why did you put the backup bids in?
I did put backup bids in.
You didn't get any of those guys either?
Mm-mm.
That's not good.
Oh, well, we try to figure it out.
There's nothing to figure out.
I'm still
play Tyrod Taylor. You hope Nate Peterman gets hurt.
I just got to, you know, this week is a loss, and hopefully
email the league commissioner. Can I please have Blaine Gabbert?
Yeah, exactly. That's what you should.
Nobody else is gonna want him.
Hey, I'm really sorry. I was on the radio. Please, can you just add that player to my team?
Yeah, I'm not.
I was working. It's 20 minutes into the game, but can I take a minute of my life?
Yeah, please. Please. I was on the radio. I didn't have time to put bids in at all. Please.
I'm not Mike Clay.
When it comes to these backup,
he's always putting bids in on the radio, though.
Shh. When it comes to that, when it comes to the quarterbacks, though, Eli Manning, Blake Bortles, Case Keenum, Jay Cutler, they are very difficult to differentiate this week. I know everybody likes Eli Manning. I completely get that. I actually chose Blake Bortles personally. The whole Cleveland thing, like Blake threw 50 passes last week. To be honest with you, in that league, I'm getting, like, I have two wins. I'm playing the team that's 9-1, and he's a Jaguar fan. I'm like, haha, suck it. I'm going to start playing Bortles.
You want to stick it to him by playing Bortles against
that's
him.
That's what I did.
I've been following Mike Florio on Twitter.
Of course,
he has the 275. He's averaged 275 yards over the last four.
Exactly. But ultimately, my decision was between Blake Bortles and Case Keenum. And that was where my head was at. And my initial instinct was like, I watched a lot of the Case Keenum game this past Sunday. All those touchdowns, four different players, all those weapons with Diggs, with Thielen, with McKinnon, with Rudolph. Like, I liked the idea of Case Keenum. Here's my problem with that. I can't guarantee you that Case Keenum finishes the game on Sunday. Like, every report that you have read over the last couple of days, really since Monday, was that Mike Zimmer and this organization really wanted to go to Teddy Bridgewater. They believe Teddy Bridgewater is their future. They want to see what Teddy Bridgewater has left. And it sure sounds like, Scotty, that at the first sign of trouble with Case Keenum, they're going to turn the reins over to Teddy Bridgewater.
Look, there's two sides to Keenum here. It's, you know, the team has a good record. He's done exactly what they expect, you know, a backup quarterback to do. He's been mostly game manager in all but three of his games. He had a big game last week. He had another 300-yard game earlier in the season. There was another okay game. And all other five games have either been one or zero touchdown passes. He hasn't made mistakes. He's taken advantage of some situations. He's played pretty well. But, like Corey was saying, Dr. A said this summer that Bridgewater might be ready to be back by then. So, going on that, we would believe that Bridgewater has been more than ready to come back. I strongly believe that the Minnesota Vikings cannot make a deep playoff run with Case Keenum at quarterback. Yes, it's one thing to have a nice record in the regular season, but in the playoffs, when they need a game-winning drive, it's like, you know, they're playing in Philadelphia and they're down by seven with 2 minutes to go. Like, here comes Case Keenum for history. You know, they don't want that. You know, that's not the type of guy you want in the postseason. I believe they believe Teddy Bridgewater is their guy. As Corey said a few years ago against Seattle,
he had them in
position to win, and they missed the kick, and they had the Adrian Peterson fumble. That was not Bridgewater's fault. The weather was awful, and he overcame that.
Are you
and had him in position to win.
For Seattle, or are you talking about Teddy Bridgewater?
They believe that he's their franchise quarterback, and that they give him the best chance.
Can I rebuttal this real quick?
Yes, you can. I'll give you your time.
Let him finish.
But next segment. But
finish off. You do your thing.
I'm trying. You know, with Bridgewater, they believe that's the franchise quarterback, and it gives them the better chance to win. Case Keenum has done a nice job, but he's not going to take them to a conference championship. I believe they believe internally that Teddy Bridgewater gives them that best chance.
Keenum's what, 6-2 as a starter for this team that lost Dalvin Cook, their starting running back, that didn't have Stephon Diggs for like 3 weeks and came back for 1 week, maybe not 100%. So what are you able to do? Look, I'm not saying Case Keenum is a franchise quarterback or not, but when you have a defense like this, you have veteran players on this roster, even on the offensive side, you can't take this guy out until he fails. If he fails, yeah, go to Teddy Bridgewater. But, I mean, Teddy hasn't done anything in the past. Is Teddy Bridgewater going to be better than Keenum? I would believe so at some point in the future. But the guy hasn't played in almost 2 years, and I wouldn't do that to this team until this guy fails.
So here's where I'm at with that. I'm kind of more on the Matt spectrum here, because as Matt said, Case Keenum's now 6-2. He's played well. I don't think anybody can take that away from him. He's played really well.
No, you can't take it away from
in the regular season, no doubt about that. And my issue is, I am not positive at this juncture of the season that Teddy Bridgewater is better than Case Keenum, a guy that hasn't played in 2 years, that, yes, led a team that probably should have won a playoff game, but we have not seen it over an extended period. How rusty is he going to be? This is a team that needs to win now. Can they do that with Teddy Bridgewater? I'm not so sure.
We'll
get the fantasy
either.
Executive's thoughts when we come back next.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Teddy Roosevelt, Teddy Two Glove, could be back as early as this week. Scotty, I know you want to get a chance to rebuttal what I had said, so I want to give you the opportunity to do that here.
Just the final thing I'll say is that
I don't
think either quarterback is going to to lead them to a Super Bowl. I think you have to have a certain quality of quarterback in the playoffs, and they just don't have it.
Teddy Bridgewater could be that guy, but the thing about it is, if I'm the Minnesota Vikings, I know how bad the organization, I know how bad the fan base wants to see Bridgewater. Keenum has to lose a game before I go to Bridgewater.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It can't. So that's the thing, right? It can't be a bad drive. It can't be a bad interception.
No, it's got to be.
He's
got to
lose a game. Not even the Vikings. I want Case Keenum to lose me a game.
No, I think it's I think it's the Vikings.
Wow, that's such a quick hook, man.
Look, Tyrod Taylor got the quick hook yesterday on the team going to the playoffs. It happens in the NFL.
That's crazy.
The Vikings would have win a game, but I mean Keenum just played god awful and threw like three picks and stuff. I wouldn't have a problem. I just don't think you can take this guy out right now until he fails. And how is that hurting Teddy Bridgewater to get more practice time in? I mean, it's not like, you know, he's been practicing at 100% this whole season.
Sure.
It was very interesting to hear Mike Zimmer's press conference yesterday when he talked about how he feels Keenum is still kind of a roller coaster, he was saying. He said he played well early, and then late on he threw some bad interceptions, and he said it was a reverse of how he usually plays. He starts slow. He usually the other way. You know, he starts slowly and then he picks it up. And he said he's a very excitable guy, and I have to rein him in and show him some things.
Yeah,
that's not a guy that's going to win for them in the playoffs.
And you know what? By making those comments, Zimmer is setting it up to bench him as soon as he gets the first opportunity.
Yep.
And what happens when Teddy Bridgewater comes in and he starts throwing picks? I just don't understand that.
That wasn't Bridgewater's
really like MO though when he played. It's just like
Bridgewater played a different era. Mind you, the offensive coordinator changed in the middle of the season last year. Bridgewater played under North Turner, and North Turner said that he did not give Teddy Bridgewater the full playbook. Mm-hmm. And they was going to open up the full playbook for Bridgewater in 2016, and that's when he got injured.
Do you remember Bridgewater being pick prone? No, I don't.
I don't remember him being pick prone.
I just remember him almost being a game manager.
But he was very game manager. Yeah. But I think that's because I think that was North Turner. That's what North Turner has him as a game manager. They didn't open up the offense for him.
Years he threw 21 picks in 28 games. That's not that good.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, my memory is foggy.
But you would think in the new offense that there would be growth because. I mean, even though he can't get out there and execute it, I'm quite sure he's been in the room with the quarterbacks. He's been inside his playbook. He knows the offense. Now it's just about making the rubber meet in the road for Teddy Bridgewater.
And this week's game is going to tell a lot. You know, going against the Rams, you know, let's see how Keenum plays. You know, it could be very, very telling.
But what if the Vikings, like, just they're home. They manhandle the Rams, one of the best offenses in the league.
Go back to Keenum next week. That's what I would do. I would go back to Keenum until he loses. And then when he loses, I'd be like, you see how he looked back there? Teddy Bridgewater's a starter. And they'd be like, he threw six touchdowns.
All the things that Zimmer was saying and stuff, that game was really never in question from the second quarter on. I mean, Washington scored a touchdown with like a minute left to make it an 8-point game. But the game was never really in doubt. So.
No, he still did throw the picks. This will be a revenge game for Keenum, though.
Sure, but ultimately,
Fish is not dead.
What do you guys brought up this comment? And I think it's a good one, so I want to bring it back. What if you bring in Teddy Bridgewater and he sucks? Then what do you do?
Then you,
there's a lot of people that are gonna be looking stupid.
Then you make excuses for Teddy Bridgewater.
Yep.
Neither one of these quarterbacks may ultimately be the answer, but. You know, in the regular season, you know, look, it could be Keenum is still the better guy.
Who's he going to explain it to?
He hasn't played in 2 years, and he's coming back from a major, major knee injury.
Who does Zimmer have to explain it to if he benches Teddy Bridgewater?
All those veterans in the locker room.
Correct.
They're
going to be pretty pissed off.
That's true. I can agree with you more on that.
They could be like, look, Teddy could be the franchise.
Yeah.
But, you know.
They got a shot now.
The way they're going right now. I just can't do it. When you're 7-2, Aaron Rodgers is possibly done for the year, not coming back. You can win this division, possibly secure home field. Until, like I said, if the guy fails, then you got Bridgewater.
Yeah, but
with success.
The team, the rest of the players on the team could feel a certain way, especially the veterans. But he don't have to answer to the ownership. He don't have to answer to the fan base. He can put Teddy Bridgewater out there. Bridgewater can stink the joint up, and really, it'll be internal. Because the fan base wants him to ownership more.
I get it. I understand. But I think the ownership, more than anything else, in all honesty, wants the Vikings in the Super Bowl this year. It's in Minnesota, right? Like, that is the dream of all dreams. And if Teddy Bridgewater comes in and he just stinks up the joint, Mike Zimmer, he don't care. He'll pull him, right?
By the same token, though, what if Teddy Bridgewater takes them to the Super Bowl in Minnesota coming off that injury?
The dream comes true.
That'd be story.
He'll never pay for another meal in Minnesota ever again.
He'll be Plaxico Burris.
And Scott likes the sushi out in Minnesota.
Actually, I like the beef teriyaki.
Fine.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, I'm not a sushi guy at all.
Well, sushi's very delicious.
I don't like sushi.
You haven't tried sushi, what's the place called?
Sushi Dama.
Sushi Dama.
Where's that?
58?
Right.
58th Street.
On the east or west side?
West. Yeah, you gotta go west. Circle. You can't go east.
Yeah, I'm not going. Yeah, about to say, I'm not going to go over there with the elitists.
No one goes east with the elitists. You stay west.
It's right there on 50. I might go today.
It's very good. But anyway, when it comes to Teddy Bridgewater, I totally agree with Matt in that you're going to have to answer to the veterans. If you pull a guy that's been getting it done, getting the ball to the wide receivers and Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, I just don't know. If you are at this point in the season where you are, what was your record? 7-2?
Yes.
When you are 7-2, to pull the quarterback and bring in a guy that hasn't gone to pass in 2 years, that could be rusty, they pull a guy that has a connection with Adam Thielen in a major, 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 major way, has a connection with Stephon Diggs, and he's winning. I don't know how you
and
do
he
that.
Hasn't had 100% of the rot, like the starters have gone down.
I agree with you. I would leave him as the quarterback, but they're not going to do that.
They're not
going to do that. They're going to find a way to get Teddy Bridgewater in that lineup.
I think Greg made an excellent point, where if Keenum struggles in that first half, you could have seen Bridgewater out there. It's not that second.
It's called
it. I mean, it pretty much.
I'm glad y'all brought this up, too.
That press conference, it's pretty much saying, look, I'm going with Keenum, but at the first sign of danger.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I have a team with him. I think
he believes there could be danger with a guy like that.
I have a team with my quarterbacks. So Case Keenum and Jay Cutler, Tyrod Taylor and Jameis Winston as the two other quarterbacks. So right now I'm going with the quarterbacks I'm left with are Keenum and Cutler. And I have Keenum in the starting lineup right now, but you know what? I need to put Cutler in there because Keenum might just play a quarter.
This is a big, big game for NFC playoff seeding right here. And to me, what it says to me is I'm going to pull him if he messes up like he did, you know, against Washington. To me, he's saying that, you know, this is like a pre-playoff kind of game, like a notch below a playoff game. I don't think they have the confidence in this guy to win a big game in a big spot, and I kind of don't blame him.
We're going to find out, obviously. The one opportunity that Bridgewater had, his team obviously came up short. Blair Walsh missed the kick. Then he went on to miss kicks for Seattle. And, you know, can he get them back there? Yeah. But I think Mike Zimmer owes it to his team, and certainly the veterans on the team, specifically on the defensive end, held this thing together.
I feel like the last time that we saw Bridgewater, he was on the verge of pulling off a big-time playoff upset.
Absolutely.
That's the last game he played in.
Absolutely.
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
I mean, I don't buy this narrative that Keenum can't take them to the Super Bowl. I've seen Jake Delhomme take people to the Super Bowl.
Jake Delhomme was
Trent Dilfer.
That's the exception, not the rule. I don't think. Look, we disagree.
You have to have a good defense.
We disagree. I think you have to have a defensive running game and a quarterback.
They have a running game.
They're missing a quarterback. They're missing a quarterback that can take them deep into the playoffs. But we disagree.
But how do we know that Bridgewater is that guy after 2 years?
We don't.
We're going to find out.
Yeah. My whole point of this thing has been. Yeah. With this locker room and you got 7-2 team and all this stuff, you need to let the guy fail first before you put Bridgewater in. It's not like Bridgewater was, say, Michael Vick in his heyday and stuff and all that. And he has this track record of greatness. He was a guy that we were hoping would take the next step. Kind of like, say, like a Jameis Winston this year. We were hoping he took that next step on the NFL level. Bridgewater wasn't even as good as Jameis Winston, I don't think.
Who is the Vikings player rep? Curious.
Why?
I don't know if I'm Case Keenum, I'm going to this dude. Like, yo, listen, what they trying to do to me? Talk to the union, Harrison Smith. He probably could care less.
I like Harrison Smith. He's good.
I like Harrison Smith too.
He's a good player.
He's been a nightmare to Dallas Cowboys in the past.
He's been a nightmare to a lot of teams in the past. Mm-hmm. If you're Scotty, if you're Stephon Diggs owner and Adam Thielen owner, what do you want to happen?
I want to happen what Matt's saying. I don't want to mess with success. These guys are getting the ball. I don't know how rusty Bridgewater's an unforeseen thing. I want to go with what I know fantasy wise. He's been getting them the ball. Thielen's like the number three wide receiver in fantasy football right now with Case Keenum playing. So
yeah, totally with you. We'll see if they do. Take a break. We'll come back. I gotta pause the football just for 1 second. You need to talk about the process last night. That was just insane. We'll get into that a little NBA. When we come back here, Road to Access.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Before we do, we got to talk about college basketball here for a moment as well, because our esteemed President of the United States has woken up.
Oh, Lord.
I believe some players did thank him, though, yesterday.
They did.
And the president said to the three UCLA basketball players, I say, you're welcome. Go out and give a big thank you to President, whatever the Chinese guy, President's name, President, who made your release possible. And have a great life. Be careful. There are many pitfalls on the long and winding road of life.
Look at that. Wise words from a wise man.
Do we have enough time to squeeze some baseball in this segment?
Sure, we can do it. We can do it at 7:55 because I want to get the proper time it's due. But right now, 7:55 Eastern time, of course. But right now, it's all about the process. This dude, Joel Embiid, last night, in a ridiculously fun game against the Lakers. I watched like the first half before I went to bed. And these passes both ways between Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid were insane. And the final line for Joel Embiid last night is insane. 46 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists, 7 blocks, 2 three-pointers hit, 2 turnovers. This is an insane game by the process, who was 16 of 19 from the free throw line, 14 of 20 from the field. It does not get better than
when
this.
When he's on his game, he's just as tough to guard or deal with as any player in the NBA currently. I mean, including guys like Giannis and King James, obviously. Just you worry about his health. You feel what I'm saying?
He's probably not going to play his next game.
Yeah, exactly. His body. You know, when you're that big and skilled and stuff like that, you still got to understand stuff comes with all those limbs and elbows and knees and stuff like that. So if he can ever manage to really stay healthy, he can put together some fantastic seasons. But him and Ben Simmons, they got that thing rolling right now. People, the way the Philadelphia Sixers built this team is very awkward, but it ended up looks like it's gonna work.
Yeah, it's the Sixer fans have every reason to be excited now. You know,
looking
ahead. Well, okay, at least for right now. But you know, watching some of this last night, just like you said, how unguardable he is. It's just like it was like a man against boys. You know, in the low post, and now Simmons. Like I heard people talking and saying, is he the most impressive rookie ever? Well, not quite. You know, it's maybe in a very, very long time. But Magic Johnson was probably the most impressive rookie ever.
Well, there's been some very, I mean, maybe, I don't know, I wasn't alive for Magic Johnson's rookie year, so I can't.
If you just read about it, though, it was incredible. Like, and to finish it off, you know, in the finals against the Sixers, in game six, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was injured. Magic Johnson stepped in and played center.
I know. We know the story, Scott.
He just said he didn't.
No, I said I can't judge
Magic
Johnson
for
a year.
I haven't seen it.
But listen, Magic Johnson, it was great. He was a rookie 30 years ago. But I want to talk about now. And this process, you're right, for Philadelphia, you have every right to be excited. And I honestly do wonder that if Sam Hinkie was still there, like, what he would have done. Like, he wouldn't have traded up for Markelle Fultz. Like, I promise you that.
He wouldn't have did that.
He would have saved the draft currency. Mm. He would not have extended Robert Covington, which the Sixers did yesterday. But this Ben Simmons thing he would have done, the Joel Embiid thing he would have done.
It looks like they're trying to put it together now and see what they got. So it should be some exciting basketball in Philadelphia.
I'm just upset Hinkie's not there for the process.
To see the process play out.
Yeah, it sucks, but... There you go. Absolutely awesome, awesome.
Lonzo Ball at 2 points.
Oh, yeah. Poor Lonzo's struggling. But you hear more about Lonzo Ball coming up from Foul Territory tonight. Fantasy Executive has you covered there. We'll take a break. When we come back, get back into football here. Matt Modica, Scott Angle, Corey Parson, Greg Sussman. We are the Roto Experts. We come back right after this.